So, are you going to start the show then, Bone? This is your bit, isn't it?
I was hoping you'd hear the pop of the beer can, like, so. I think...
beer can?
It might be. No, don't do that. I'm having flashbacks. Do not do that. I think this is the first beer of 2023 for me. I'm not even going to lie.
Wow. And it's America's favourite beer.
I hate it, but we got bought it for Christmas at work. I'm in the office. Josh. I shouldn't be drinking it in the office. But it is what it is.
Why do you get beer in the fridge at work?
Because we got it as a Christmas present from a wholesaler. Like, they bring you little presents and we got some beers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have to drink it at work then.
It's not his first beer of the year. We went on a Matt Lee stag do.
Of course we did,
yeah. Of course we did. So... good effort.
I heard he was on a different fuel that night.
No. I don't partake in things like that. That's a vicious rumor, and I categorically deny it. But yeah, But yeah, I'm getting away with drinking at work because there's no one in the office.
Is that a small beer?
It's a 330 mil.
Okay.
It just looks small in my massive hands. And on the weird camera, so yeah, there we go.
Oh yeah, we're on Teams tonight, by the way, everyone. We don't have to stop and start the show as we record it.
It will mean nothing to the listeners, will it? Because we edit that bit out. But I'm hoping this will be smoother.
What are you talking about? We don't have to keep cutting out. It's seamless anyway, lads. We're quite professional at this now.
It's true.
Well,
but every time you have to cut out like a 30-second thing and then get the conversation restarted while you're editing, it's annoying. So that's at least three times during each show.
Talking about video, yeah. Can I see a mustache?
Hang on, I just want to...
Hang on,
2 seconds. I just want to make a quick thing before we start. I've got a chest infection, I'm on antibiotics, I'll probably cough, I'll probably miss taking some out, and I'll probably cough quite a lot through the episode, so I do apologise, but that's your lot. So you're going burn.
I just want to add, it's always you that's ill, isn't it? It is always you.
Yeah. Perhaps I'm a weaker male. I'm a beta male.
I'd agree with that.
I would suggest you get a daily vitamin D spray.
I was taking vitamin D tablets a while back.
They've got this like, it looks like breath freshener and just like...
Shouldn't you take vitamin C as well for colds?
Just D is just like your immunity, so it's just...
How is it a chest infection anyway? Like, I think chest infections thrown around a lot and that they've told you they're antibiotics, but they're just placebos.
Well, they're not.
What's actually wrong with you? Why is your chest infected?
I don't know. I've got a cough.
You've got a cough?
My chest feels like... My chest feels like it's all bruised.
What colour's the sputum coming off?
Green.
Nah, it's not a proper chest infection.
Oh, okay. It's not a proper one, Josh. I'll go back and let the doctor know tomorrow.
I had pneumonia when I had my appendix out.
Bowen, the electrician from Bromsgrove, decided that over a Teams call that it wasn't a chest infection. So I'll hand the antibiotics back.
Have you got a petri dish? Can you cough into a petri dish for me? I will inspect it over Teams. And hey, hang on, is this a ploy to get out of going to work? You've only just started a new job.
I'm at work.
You're putting the patients at risk. On. You're coughing over the patients.
No. I'm just not transporting any patients anywhere.
How is the new job?
Yeah, sound. It's all right.
Wait, you got a new job?
Yeah. You don't know.
So you're not inspecting anymore?
No, not inspecting anymore.
He's the arch nemesis now, ain't you? The inspector.
Yeah. I hate the inspectors now.
Okay.
But you know
the inspector's tricks though, right? So you can kind of...
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give him his credit. He's actually doing a proper job for the NHS now. Instead of being one of these pretend heroes, he's actually doing... You were loving it in the clap for the NHS, weren't you? You were taking your standing ovation, weren't you?
He's just standing on the front lawn and just like...
I was going out and not clapping. I was writing the names and numbers. I was writing the numbers of the houses down that people didn't come out of.
Inspecting, still doing your job.
Well, I was just waiting for when it all backfires. I can say, well, 47 weren't out clapping.
So,
you know what I mean? So you just keep a track of them all. But yeah, Sam, cheers.
Now you're actually doing a proper NHS job, aren't you?
A proper job,
yeah. No, I don't mean it. I don't mean it. I mean you're helping people instead of hindering people.
Oh, yeah. yeah, something like that. Shall we get going?
Can I just mention what I was going to mention? Josh looks like he's coming over to the dark side. His mustache looks more prominent than his beard. Can you confirm or deny?
I can deny that I haven't changed anything. It's just natural.
Can you, when you look like you're about due a shave, can you leave the mustache for me? Because it's the new look I'm going for. I think everyone will do it.
I was going to comment earlier that your goatee or your beard's coming in too much.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I was lazy over the weekend. I didn't shave it. I need to have a shave. It won't be tonight now, but probably tomorrow. All right.
We'll clean them up for the next show.
Are you going to have a mustache?
Yeah.
You're not, are you?
I'll go for it, yeah.
Duffy, are you... Oh, wait, you can't grow one.
Can you not?
Yeah, I can. Can you not see?
That's a beard, not a mustache.
Some people can only get the beard.
I could probably get a mustache if I wanted to. It would take me longer, but I could probably get
one. You're going
to
do it?
Nah.
Do it, Duff, do it.
No, because I want to be allowed near schools.
Why do you want to go near schools?
Yeah, wait. All right, let's start. We better start the show.
I got you there, I'm not.
Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. And welcome to our UK-based disc golf podcast, where we explore the exciting and dynamic sport of disc golf, as well as delve into some intriguing conspiracy theories. Disc golf is a unique and challenging sport that combines the precision and technique of traditional golf with the fun and athleticism of frisbee. In this podcast, we will discuss the latest news and developments in the disc golf world, as well as provide tips and tricks to help you improve your game. Alongside this, we will also explore some of the most interesting and controversial conspiracy theories out there. Look at the evidence and the theories behind them. So whether you're a seasoned pro or a newcomer to the world of disc golf, or you're just curious about the strange and mysterious world of conspiracies, join us as we explore the fascinating intersection of these two worlds.
Where did you... Who agreed this?
I know who wrote that.
Who wrote that?
Who's wrote that?
It was an AI bot. It has to...
Chat GPT.
Yeah.
ChatGPT.
And I didn't realize it until right at the end, and I was like... he just keeps saying the same words over and over again.
It's taking over ChatGPT.
I thought that'd be an interesting start to the show.
I was like, if I edit the show this week, I'm not going to put the normal intro in. Like the one with the music and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're mad.
Well, anyway, on the tee box tonight with me, we have Joshua Birmingham.
What's up?
How do? And we have Thomas Bowen. How do?
I was trying to think of something funny to say. Good evening.
Aha! I'll cut you off again, Josh. Sorry. What was you going to say before I did the introductions?
I don't know.
Did you like the chat GPT?
It was thorough. Yes.
The first one I put, I won't read it all, but, well, I'll read most of it. It said, disc golf, just like conspiracy theories, can be unpredictable and full of surprises. In this podcast, we will take you on a journey through some of the most fascinating, controversial topics of our time, from government cover-ups and secret societies to extraterrestrial encounters and paranormal phenomena.
Did you put that in?
We will delve deep. No, we will delve deep into the world of conspiracy theories and try to uncover the truth. So sit back, grab your favourite disc, and join us as we explore the mysteries and secret of our world. And so I said, the same as that, but a bit less conspiracy and a bit more disc golf.
Who? Right, how did it come up with that? What did you... I don't know. My dad's been doing some stuff with it. Do you have to just put in keywords?
No. You just write a question. So I put, can you write me a starting statement for a UK-based disc golf podcast that regularly talks about conspiracy theories? And then it comes out with all that.
It's pretty good.
But you can do stuff, Bowen.
Yeah.
Like I wrote yesterday when I was showing Kay, give me a prank that Jim in the office might do to Dwight.
And it knows.
And give me a prank, like exactly what you'd expect him to do, about putting like a penny in the handset of his telephone. So every time he answered it, it kept rattling.
I've got my disc, by the way.
Is that your favourite disc?
No. I think you've seen my favourite disc. I think I've shown you this one.
No, I'm not. No, yes, you have.
No. It's not the one that you think it is. It's this one. This is one of my favourites. Oh, I don't know if you can see that. You ready?
Oh. The bottom stamped sexy bird.
Yep, that's one of them. I've got quite a few.
It doesn't matter. You getting discs out of a box and showing them to us on camera doesn't make for great audio listening, though, Bowen.
That's
my main concern.
This is my box that's probably got... I know they can't see. It's got probably £1,000 worth of discs in that box, so...
So, where do you work? What's the address?
I'm not going to tell you that. This is the amazing thing about Frisbees. I can leave that under my desk... And literally, everyone just thinks, oh, he's got some Frisbees under his desk.
Yeah.
Hide it in plain sight. It's the logical choice.
Talking about hiding discs in plain sight, I went down to Croydon yesterday, Bowen, and I was playing, and there was a cloud breaker just lying on the fairway. Croydon. So I thought, I'll pick that up and I'll have that.
What have you done, Josh? What have you done?
No, I just about got mad that he didn't contact me, but then I realized he was just being a dick. Sunday. Yeah, I went and played two rounds on Sunday. And in the first round, there was a strong headwind on 17, like the big downhill one. And my disc turned over, went kind of around the corner out of sight. And there was a tree over there. It hit and got stuck in. And so it was like four or five of us trying to get it out with like water bottles.
Yeah.
Using the frag. But yeah, it didn't come out. We spent like 10 minutes. I could have climbed it, but people told me not to.
Why?
They said it was dangerous.
I would just ignore them.
Yeah, anyway. Guess who lost their Cloudbreaker because of it?
Was it just a...
So anyway.
Was it one of the new Cloudbreakers? What was it?
The Creator Series, yeah.
Oh, they're shit anyway. They're 10 a penny.
What?
They're 10 a penny anyway. I can probably get hold of one for you fairly cheap.
Why do you say that?
Well, they're not expensive,
I think they're the best flying ones. Cloudbreaker 3 was too stable. Cloudbreaker 2 was too understable. They're more like the ones.
I can probably like get hold of a one for you, but it's going to cost you.
I don't want that. You see that I lose things.
Anybody can get hold of a Cloudbreaker 1.
And with enough money.
With enough money. you're not some sort of niche disc-finding god. You just put on Discmania group. Has anybody got a first-run Cloudbreaker 1 for sale? And they tell you how much you buy it.
What Cloudbreaker 1 do you want? Do you want a prototype? Do you want a first run? Which one do you want? Do you want a second run?
What I'd probably do is just put that in the in search of post.
Yeah. Well, it's very sad. It's the only one I have, only Cloudbreaker I had left. And it fell out of the tree, I guess, during our second round. And by the time I got back around there was nothing to be found. No one's contacted me about it. It has my name and number. It could be at the cafe, but I doubt it.
So if anybody hears this and can get to the cafe before Josh, go in, say you're Josh Birmingham, get yourself a free collaborator.
I've got an interest in... carry on.
I just feel like more and more these days, people are not returning discs, and I don't know if it's like there's an influx of new players and they don't know the code, or I'm just being an old man and nothing really has changed. People just have always stolen discs.
Do you want to buy a Cloudbreaker, Duff?
Is it a blue one?
Yeah.
I think you were unlucky to not get your bag back when you lost all your discs in the bag. I felt like you probably have got that back. Maybe minus a wallet, but you would have got that back.
I wonder if that is somewhere in one of the rail network lost properties. Just no one's... We know how shit the country's run. No one has... It's been labelled up wrong and no one knows where it is. I bet you that's somewhere kicking around.
The only other thing is people got your bag and your wallet was in there and they thought, well, we can't take the wallet out and return the bag, so we'll just sling the bag.
That's my thinking.
But the Cloudbreaker, I feel that and I'm normally Mr. Cynical, but I personally feel that most people would probably try and find its rightful owner. I think they would anyway.
Except for
like somebody just walking through the park or something and seeing it lying on the floor, and they might pick it up and just think, somebody's left this behind, I'm going to have it.
It was kind of near a walking path that goes through the hole, so...
I think that's feasible, but I think most disc golfers would try and return it, personally.
I'm going to be honest, when we first started playing, I remember this, we're playing Quarry Park, we had a 3-disc starter set, I found a Discmania disc, I can't remember what it was, I used it for the rest of the round, and then I handed it back in, I didn't know the etiquette then, but I've got a funny story. I got a text message off of someone. I'd lost an Axiom disc. I can't remember what it was. It was a red one with a white rim. I don't know. You won't remember it, Duff, because I can't even remember what it was. I lost it at Arrow Valley. I got a text about 3 weeks later off some bloke. He'd found it in Morton Stanley Park. He's like, I've got this frisbee and it's got your number on. I went, sound, could I collect it off you? And then he sent me a picture of his dog chewing it. He's like, the dog loves it. And I'm like, it's not really meant for that, mate. But do you want it back? I went, just keep it, because the dog was chewing hell out of it.
Yeah.
People are idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But I personally don't feel like disc golfers would do that. So that's my hope anyway. Bit shit in it, but
there is,
if that's the case. But I don't think that would happen. I'm being optimistic.
There is a big thing in America at the moment. What do they call them? Pond dippers or something. People who go in ponds, retrieve all the discs and then sell them.
It's maritime law.
Is that what they say?
Yeah. If they go in and get it, it's theirs. Because you didn't want to go in and get it. So why should they go in and get it and then you get to get it back?
In a way, yeah, I kind of agree, but still, it's still a bit shitty, isn't it?
It is. And I think if there's a number on there, then yeah, call them, and then maybe be like, yeah, I'm taking donations for diving.
Did you see the bloke who got dragged on one of the American selling pages who was trying to sell one of Kristen Tatar's discs? And he advertised it, do you want Kristen's phone number? And everyone's like...
What?
And everyone was like, just return it to her. He's like, no, I bought it off a used shelf, why should I return it? And they were kicking off over it. And it's sort of like, he's bought it off a used shelf. He did message her and she did want it back, but who legally owns that disc?
Well, I just don't know what I thought.
There's a rule in one of the states. The general rule is that if it's not claimed within a year, it goes on the used rack.
That's fair.
So, and he bought it off a used rack, and they was trying to flog it to give out Kristen's number.
What I'm wondering is why would she bother putting her number on a disc? She could just put Kristen Tatar. I'm pretty sure that'll do.
I did the same. I put Bowen on mine because everyone knows who I am. If I lose one, it doesn't really matter, does it? It'll get back to me.
Yeah.
How much did you have to pay for the Kristen disc in the end, Bowen?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's just say my special box is a bit lighter. No, I wouldn't do that. I would not do that.
I mean, it's all being well selling a Kristen Tatar disc, isn't it? I feel like if it's gone through the legitimate source, say she's got rid of it or something like that, like you could say, oh, I'm going to sell it. It's a disc that used to belong to Kristen Tatar. Obviously, if she's giving it away or for whatever reason, but like to sell it as who wants her number is a bit seedy, isn't it?
The grey area was that she'd lost that disc and she claimed she wasn't contacted about it and she wanted it back. So that's where it was kicking off. But like, to be fair, why should pros get special treatment? I wouldn't get special treatment if my disc is lost and whatever, like, and it's sold on. So what? It's my own fault, isn't it? I left one at the UPO. That I got stuck in a
tree. Here's a question for you then. Josh, you've been playing a lot longer, so you probably have more experience of this. If you have a disc returned to you, is it ever the same as when it first went? I've never had a disc that's been returned to me, and I thought, this is exactly how I remembered it, and like, perfect, this is brilliant, go straight back into the bag. Straight away, whenever I have one returned, I think, oh, it's not as good as I remembered it to be.
I've got one
You've already replaced it and you fell in love with the replacement. Yeah. And now you don't even need it.
Basically.
Yeah.
I've got one that's actually got better. I've got a Berg, a K3 Berg, that went in the Avon for a year. And it's got that super tacky feel now to it that the older ones have. My disc actually got better out the Avon.
Are you going to start conditioning your discs in, like, dirty water?
I think that might be the option, to be honest. I don't know.
I bet there's someone in the world that does that.
There's the old thing. Here's another thing. We're actually talking about disc golf today. Some people,
it's actually pretty strange.
Some people,
it's scary.
Some people throw their discs at trees to break them in. Now, is that classed as modifying the disc? Is it illegal to do that, to purposely throw it at a tree?
I don't think so.
No, you could say you want to know how it reacts when it hits a tree. So you could say it's practice, potentially.
But why would you buy a disc and bang it off a tree? Because you can't guarantee how it's going to beat in anyway, can you?
No, you can't. But some people, they just want the beat-in version of something, maybe to replace a disc that they lost, but I don't subscribe to that. I don't think that's a good idea.
What do you think, Josh? Have you ever had a disc back that you've fell straight back in love with? Like a disc you really loved and you've got it back and you've been like, yeah, that's perfect, exactly what I wanted? Or have you got it back and just been a bit disappointed with it?
I'm always very excited. I will say just a quick story about getting a disc back. I went home, lost a Thunderbird.
A friend just gave me a Georgia. Georgia, are you? Yeah.
And it was a 3-time Paul Macbeth Thunderbird, I believe. And lost it back in the States, came back here. A year later, someone found it in the woods, shipped it to me. I paid them to ship it to me and a little extra for being nice. Got it. Took it out to the field to do field work, and I think someone walked off with it that same day. But that disc was so sweet. I mean,
you say you think somebody walked off with it, but I would edge on the side of I know what you're like for being lackadaisical.
And he left it.
I wouldn't be putting my money on somebody walking off of it as much as Josh forgetting he'd thrown it and just leaving it.
There's a balance of kind of both of those things where I probably threw about 10 drives, and you know, I throw so far that it's just, you know, if you wait for like 5 minutes, you turn your back for a second, someone's picked it up and they're gone before you even knew it.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened, and I think I might have seen it happen. But I should have chased the people down, but I didn't want to be a lunatic about it.
But you didn't want to get stabbed. By the time I got over there, if it was in Croydon.
No, it was in Clapham.
Oh, that's but, just as bad, isn't it? Clapham.
Yeah. Anyway, we all hate losing discs. It's very sad. But if anyone sees a blue Cloudbreaker in Croydon, or anyone's bag that has the initials JB,
I've got
slap the person holding it.
I've got quite a funny story about the unprofessional open and me losing a disc. I put one in the big oak tree on hole 4 on the black course. So hole 5 normally.
Yeah.
And I was going to get it down, and then I made the mistake of saying, shh, I need to get this down because I haven't inked it. And we're in the middle of a tournament. And they're like, it's got no ink in. And I went, no, it has got ink in. And they're like, well, it's a penalty stroke if it's got no ink in. No, it's definitely got ink in. And I went, are you going to get it down? I said, no, I'm going to leave it up there. Don't worry about it.
No, see, I was under the impression. I mean, I could be wrong, but I was under the impression it's just got to be able to be identified. It's got to have a distinct mark. I didn't think it actually had to be written on as such.
I mean, what are you going to do? Take a bite out of it? Or like, that's my tooth marks.
I don't know, but if, say, my dog tends to like to pounce, want to throw them. He runs and pounces on them and leaves like a scratch mark on them sometimes. So I would say that's a distinctive enough mark to say that disc is definitely mine.
Can he replicate the same mark every time, though?
Yeah. On command.
On command.
Well, I've seen
that's something we're working on.
I've seen people stamp their logos on them. That's allowed, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's allowed.
Why are you smirking, Don?
No reason.
Who were you thinking about specifically? Someone had a brand that they were going to launch. It's not you, Josh. Don't worry. You know who I'm talking about. Look at that little smirk.
It's wincing. Scratching a bite that I got yesterday. Anyway, right. So, Josh, have you played much disc golf?
I just the two rounds of Croydon. Had a nice singles round with a few people. Then did a doubles after. And one of the guys on one of the doubles teams quit on hole 3 because he was too inebriated to move on. And we left him on hole 3. We were like, you all right? We're like, we're just gonna go ahead. And he was just like hanging his head, sitting down, like, ugh. And so every once in a while, we'd just like go back over and check on him. But it was like coming towards the end of the day, like 6-7 o'clock. And I think he might have still been over there.
Had he been drinking during the round? Is that what you're saying? Or it's from the night before?
I didn't play with him first round, but apparently he had 4 or 5. Maybe empty stomach, maybe a bit of a lightweight. Don't really know.
Name names.
No, never.
Do your writhing thing.
I don't know his last name. This will be good. I don't know his last name. Schmin.
Schmin? Okay.
Tim,
yeah. Tim, but... Okay. I'll find out.
Interesting.
You'll never know.
I'll find out.
unless he pops up in the paper because he never left the course and got mugged.
Did you? What tag have you got at the moment?
I just stole. No, I just protected tag 12 from Adam Keane. It's my first tag battle of the year.
Okay, nice.
That's not bad. Not bad defense.
I think he had 20 or 22, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about you, Bone? Played any disc golf?
Nah, I've been too busy, to be honest. I was hoping to... You went out Sunday, didn't you? I really wanted to get out Sunday, but just had to work in the end. So, just far too busy at the moment.
How about this, then? Mrs. actually suggested going and play disc golf on Sunday.
Whoa.
What's wrong with her? Is she ill?
Oh, no. No. So what do you think about that then? It's pretty good, isn't it?
Was it under duress?
We went and played. No. we went and played Arrow Valley, and I shot PB on the 18. Nice. It could have been so much better, though, because I shot one over my PB, which was 8 under through the 18.
Which is a good score.
Which is a good score, because my previous was 7 under, and I've shot that twice now, 7 under. But I was 16, 15. Through 13 holes, I was 8 down, and there's some easy holes left, and I ballsed it up. I could have easily have got another 3 birdies on those, I reckon, easily. And I ballsed it up. I was really gutted about it. So it was like bittersweet, really.
How did Kay get on, more importantly?
She beat her previous score from when we played. It was like 9 over, I think.
Nice. There's a bit of room chasing me, at least. That's all right, so.
Yeah, but I started pretty well, because the last time, I think I said on the podcast, like, she started, and like through like 5 holes, she was like 2 shots better than me, and I was thinking, Jesus, I'm going to have to start playing a bit better here. but this time, I was like 4 down through 4 holes, and like there was no chance she was going to beat me from there. But she enjoyed it, though, so that's good. We're on to a positive. Anyway, she's suggesting playing. Yeah. Awesome. So, done that. Okay, well, shall we move on to everybody's favourite section? But before we do that, we're just going to have a quick word from our sponsor. We buy our discs from InTheChains.com. Go get your discs.
Excellent.
From InTheChains.com. It was class last week.
What did you think about that jingle then, Bowen?
I don't know, I've not heard it. What jingle? I'm going to have to wait to hear it. Fake. Oh, I think I have heard it. I think I have heard it. Don't worry. I'm waiting for us to say we're going to have to restart the call, to be honest. That's a bit that's like throwing me out.
It's very freeing.
It is. Right, so I'm actually a happy bunny this week. I'm actually looking forward to doing the news. But we'll let Josh talk about that shortly. I think he knows what I'm talking about. You have done it this week, haven't you?
Yep.
There we go. So I know that we'll let Josh tell us.
Are you totaling up your points just like on the side, just salivating?
Yes, I am. Yes. I haven't done anyone else's though, so I don't know.
All right. So you may just go ahead and get it out of the way.
Do you want me to do my bits, or do you want to do your bits first?
It sounds like you want to know, and yes, I'm going to let you know. Okay, so Duffy was last place, still last place. However, he has bumped himself up about 160 points, so he's sitting at 350.5. And then you've got Bowen at a whopping 529. Who are your standouts this week?
Carl Klein.
Yep.
Kevin Jones. And then yep. I had Owen, and I had Paige Shu and Kat Allen. So
yeah.
Three FPOs made it into the top 10, and 2 of my MPOs, my one MPO won it, and the other one came 5th. So
yeah, you had a really good week. You've actually taken the lead. I'm down to 480.
How many points ahead am I?
Something. Like 50? No. Yeah, 50.
It's funny that I was doing it for... I was trolling you two, and I had to pick my MPOs last, and I still picked a better team than you two.
Because we let you change your picks.
Yes.
But I haven't got any players playing.
Well, you did have... Kona got you some points.
And Calvin got you some points.
Actually, Kona did not get you any points. Calvin. It was Matteo and Calvin. Paige Shue. Yeah. So yeah, Paige, Matteo, and Calvin got you points this week. So that was
Paige
pretty good.
Paige Pierce in 16th got him points.
34.
Whoa, that's a great that. Did I get any? Did I get any for 24th in the MPO?
To be honest with you, I lost some of your numbers. Oh, you got 2.5.
Ah, Gannon, doing well, lads. I have to say, I know, like,
I'm not. You're not going to just be gloating, is it?
I know last week doesn't count, but I've literally picked the winners both weeks.
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Right, onto the results from Waco.
I don't know how it happened.
They're just good, and I'm just like naturally good.
Brilliant.
At everything I do.
Brilliant.
That's okay. Yeah. I got
except playing disc golf.
Duffy, I'm 200 points.
I got the actual winner. I got the winner of FPO, you got the winner of MPO, which is pretty good. Yeah. Which, you know, we picked the top one, so it's not
top one. Carl Kline isn't the best. Well, he could be the best MPO player. But
I think he's super cool.
Yeah,
he's
as well. I like him.
So, I like Carl Kline, yeah. I think he seems like a nice kid.
So let's get on to the results. We had Carl Kline winning the MPO with Adam James in second. I don't really like Adam James. I don't know why.
I don't either, but I agree.
But yeah. And someone I've never heard of, Cole Radarlan.
Yeah.
Is he new, is he, or...?
He's a kid, yeah. This might be his third year on tour.
Is he any good?
Yeah, he's good. He was EV7 sponsor, but I see now he's on DGA. Boo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boo to DGA. No, nobody likes him.
Did he beat Calvin in a playoff, or was there a playoff, or...? Because it's got him above Calvin, or were they just tied?
It's only a playoff. Yeah, it's only a playoff
For the first. Okay. So him and Calvin were tied third. And then Kevin Jones in fifth. So good performance there. Well, it's pointless picking Kevin Jones. He's terrible. He's rubbish. He is. He's never going to get any points.
Oh, for God's sake.
He's so consistent through two tournaments.
In the FPO, we had Kristen only just pipping Ella Hansen to the post.
Oof.
I heard there was a lot of emotion after that.
Oof.
That's heard. So
that's what happens when you were winning the tournament for the entire round until your last three holes and you go bogey, bogey, bogey.
I heard that she went...
No, she didn't.
She went for an eagle didn't she?
Didn't she go double bogey on one of the holes?
Maybe, but still.
Didn't she go for an eagle attempt and when she was in the lead?
She would have been up.
She had one shot in the, she was one shot in the lead.
Yeah.
And went to cross the water basically to make it at least an easy par, a hopeful birdie. And she's got loads of distance, isn't she? I mean, she dominates the distance competitions. But she basically it came out of her hand terribly, really, didn't it? And it's just,
she just yanked
it. Wasn't even a case of it turned over, really. It was just, it did start to turn over, but it was just like you said, like a yank rather than a
grip lock. But you gotta think, she could have taken a par by playing it safe, like every other one did, and then you put the ball in Kristen's court to earn it. You know, it's like, don't just give it away like that.
That's what I think.
But
I think It was a bad play, I think, because I mean, it's not an easy par, but for a pro, I feel like it's fairly comfortable. Because I mean, you lay it down the layup fairway, and it's fairly wide. You don't have to get all the way down. Yeah. You don't have to get dead close to the water, and then just drive across. And it doesn't even have to. It can go a little bit longer the basket to play safe. Then just pitch up underneath the basket and take a four.
What's the water carry? How far is the water?
The hole says 460, but is that direct from tee to pin?
No, but what's the actual distance of the water?
I don't actually know.
It depends, because you can either Because you haven't watched it, have you?
You can go early right, and it's a bit shorter.
The baskets...
You know the hole, okay. Yeah, so you're going diagonal across the water, basically. So you can either go directly to the basket, which is what Josh said, about 460. What,
that's the distance of the water.
To the basket, but the basket's like circle one of the water, so...
But the water doesn't start for, say, 100 feet.
Okay.
And then the other 360 is pretty much water carry.
So you've got at least 100 metres to get over.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I ain't making that.
Yeah. But what a lot of people do is they play to the right-hand side and let it sort of skip round. So it kind of, it would take a little bit of distance off, I would have thought. But then the water carry, if you was to lay up, is a lot shorter. It's like really manageable, I think. And a lot of the pros obviously want to get it right by the basket, so they're not putting back at the basket seeing the water behind it. But like, I think if you were playing it dead safe and just say, right, well, I'm going to definitely score a par, you've got to beat me to just get into the playoff. Yeah. That's basically what she should have done. And for some reason, because she's got the distance, I suppose she thought, if I can get to the other side, I've definitely got a par, if not a relatively easy birdie. And she just yanked it. I did feel for her a bit, to be fair.
Was Ellen
Because, not, I mean, it was, was, she not, it was she pretty not, cruel ending.
She had 3 and a 5. Okay, yeah, it was 1. But yeah, it was pretty sad for Ella, but I mean, obviously... I like seeing Kristen dominate, so it was good. I think everyone enjoyed it. It was exciting.
So, yeah, so Owen came third, bringing home some points for me. Sarah Hocum in fourth. Hayley King. I was focusing on the next name, which I'm really not looking forward to. Anniken Christiansen-Steen.
Yeah.
Came joint fifth, and Dean Carey came joint fifth with Kate Murch and Paige Hsu tied eighth. Paige Hsu, and then in tenth was Katrina Allen. Both my picks.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you then, Josh, because I asked this in the Interchange group chat. And I'll tell you what, I asked specifically Sammy, because he's like the oracle of disc golf. who. If you've got Kristen Tatar at the top of her game, okay, peak Kristen Tatar and peak Paige Pierce, who wins
on
a half wooded half golf course?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I'm gonna say Kristen.
I think Kristen does. Sammy thinks Paige. But would you say the greatest female disc golfer of all time is one of those two players?
Yes.
Because if you do, then you surely Kristen, if you think the answer to that is Kristen, like me, then you'd say Kristen is the greatest female player of all time.
Paige has done it more, hasn't she? Yeah, she has. She's more proven.
But you look, though, like about three of those years, Kristen could have been competing and couldn't because of COVID.
Well, I don't think she's going to be slowing down anytime soon. Everyone's like, oh, she's 30. I'm like, yeah, that's not that old to play golf.
No.
Like,
how old's Owen? Owen's over 40, isn't she?
Yeah. But she gets better every year.
She's amazing, Owen. She's probably one of my favourites on the
app. Yeah.
Because she's nutty as well. She's brilliant.
Yeah. But back to your question, it's hard to say, like, who's the best, because you have more dominant, you know, and then you have better players in the past as well. But I think in the modern era of disc golf, everyone has gotten better. You know what I mean? So it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's beaten peak Paige or Katrina. I mean, Kristen.
What about Katrina?
Or Katrina?
Yeah.
She's in the mix. So, yeah, she's got more world titles than one of those players.
Yeah.
And,
It's just an interesting one. That's...
I was going to say, VVD came in 35th. So,
That was the first tournament of the year, though, wasn't
it? That was the first tournament of the year.
So get that one under her belt and see what happens.
I mean, yeah,
exactly.
We're hoping to get her on the show next week. That's the plan anyway. We'll just make sure everybody's schedules can line up properly. And
have you met her before, Josh?
Well, we haven't met her as such, have we? But we've spoken quite a few times.
That's what we've met her on Teams. It's a meeting. Yeah. It's a meeting. If you've if you've been to a meeting, you've met someone. We did.
Have you breathed the same air?
No. Well, technically, yes. Technically, probably yes. Because air's just floating around out there. Ah, this leads to chemtrails. Do they exist?
No, it doesn't need chemtrails. Do they exist?
Well, I thought conspiracies.
It was interesting that Prince died or got killed shortly after talking about chemtrails live on TV. That was pretty interesting, I thought.
I retract my statement about chemtrails.
Me too, allegedly. Goddamn, should we move over to the males?
We've done males.
Yes, have we?
Yeah, I did them first.
Okay, shows how much I've been listening.
I was going to move on to the Rick Taylor Memorial, which was over here. Ian McDougall.
Where was that played? Longford or Lilford or both? Or
Lil.
Was it Lilford?
It was played in Lilford?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, it wasn't. Wait. It was Longford. I've seen the photos.
I'm an idiot. Yep, you're right.
Dave. The issue, you're not the idiot, it's Manchester who the idiot, naming the courses near enough the same thing.
I think it's quite good though.
It's actually the park names though, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's the park names. It is.
Yeah, it is.
He's just being facetious.
That's a conspiracy.
But I quite like it because there's some longer holes at Longford and then the short technical ones is Lilford, and I think that fits quite well.
So cute.
That's Lil.
I'll take that as fully sincere.
Lil is something your daughter would say, not a 34-year-old man does.
It's like a rapper name.
Lil Wayne. It's Bow Wow. Bow Wow took a stock picture off of Google of a private jet and claimed he was flying in it on his Instagram, and then someone took a picture of him in economy class just sat on a regular flight and called him out for it live on Instagram.
Oh, God.
Who was that?
Bow Wow. Lil Ford. I was about to say Lil Wayne, but not Lil Wayne.
Times is hard.
Lil Bow Wow. That was his name, wasn't it? Lil Bow Wow.
Y'all remember Long Bow Wow?
No.
He answered it sincerely as well, bless him.
So, right, the Rick Taylor Memorial raised a lot of money for charity. Reading from Harry's post today, he bullied all the winners into handing over their prize money to donations. So well done to him for that.
Nice.
So, he said peer pressured. I'll call that bullying. I do, but I'll let him have it.
I want to see a full report.
Either way, it's for a good cause, isn't it?
It's for a great cause. So yes, very good. McDougs won. So
that was a given, I think.
Is he Irish? Is he American or is he Scottish?
He, I think, is Scottish. I think his passport is Scottish. But he lived in Chicago for a while. I could be wrong.
I thought he lived in Georgia.
Nah. He ain't that cool.
But he takes some beating in Manchester, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, it looks to me like Jamie Matthews ran in close because they tied scores. But
It was a one-hole playoff.
There you go. So yeah, so FPO was Rachel Turton with a very respectable 6 under. So well done to her.
Talking of Rachel, is she? Do you know if there's any plans for what she's doing over in Europe, she's or whether she's going to the US or anything like that?
She's released a schedule, has I she? Think. Yeah, yeah, I think so. I can't tell you it off the top of my head, but I'm sure at the start of the season she released a schedule. She's doing a lot of Europe. I'm not sure. I think she's doing all the Europe.
I appreciate that means I've just put you on the spot.
I think she's doing...
a teammate, but I didn't mean to do that. I was just curious whether...
She's doing a lot of the Euro tours, and I think she might be going out... Is she going over to America once, Josh?
Yeah, she's doing the Beaver State Fling. Also, the Portland Open, and one in between that Cascade Challenge, which I don't know... It's on the Pro Tour, it says.
The Portland Open one, that's always quite a nice course, isn't it?
Yeah. Beaver State Fling is as well.
Is Beaver State Fling Portland in the woods?
Yeah, it's the actual disc golf course one. I think the Portland Open was on the golf course last year, but I don't think they have that venue for the Portland Open this year, so it's going to be somewhere different.
But yeah, so she's got a busy year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then she's doing Kona Piste, Tunie.
She's doing all the European Euros, Open.
So she's properly going for it this year then?
Yeah, she's got like 20 tournaments, it looks like.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's good to watch though, isn't it, I think. Like, it's nice to see, like, Britt going over and... Because I don't know, it was Noah playing in Europe last year on one of the league cards, or whether it was Rachel. But they were talking about British disc golf, the commentators, and they weren't particularly... kind to British disc golf, saying like basically it's a load of shit, and that's kind of how that's basically what they were like. And I was thinking,
have they been listening to our show?
I think because we have such small numbers and a small percentage of the population play, I don't think we take it as seriously as most European countries at this point. Yeah. We're still in that like growth stage where people have just discovered it and they're like wanting to go out and have a beer, and like, so you have a bit of that, and then you have a bit of like some people like trying to be professionals, and so it's...
Who are these people? Who are these commentators? Because I'll go over there and fight them if I have to.
Yeah.
Then they'll see we're serious.
Show resort to you having to fight somebody?
Because I'm not having them slander UK disc golf.
For God's sake, don't play disc golf in front of them then. but it's nice, especially like if people's got that attitude, to see like somebody going over and like taking the wins off other Europeans and stuff, and it's like, it's just putting British disc golf on the map a bit, doesn't it? So
yeah, she's the one good. That's going to do it, and then you've got Noah and Ben Holding are going to be out on the European tour as well. I think Jamie's going out there, but I feel like, you know, Ben or Noah could, like, do something.
Yeah.
Are they going to Jamie?
I don't really know. I don't know what Ben's doing, but...
I think Ben, purely because of the distance, big scientist, I think, like, this is Ben's first proper year, like it was Rachel's last year, testing the water and seeing what comes of it. And if it's good, it's just going to spur him on even more, you'd think, than to practice harder, to like get more tournaments in the year after. And do you know what I mean? And actually give it a proper go. He's, do you know what I mean? And like,
everyone talks about his distance, but his putting is on point right now as well. Yeah. So
I think this is why we need to nurture our distance monster, Cam. We need to get Cam Woodhouse touring a bit.
Just put him on the road.
Exactly.
I got five on it.
Right.
Not give him a lift.
Yeah, not give him a lift. No, he's a kid and he's got to learn what life's really like.
Okie doke.
I want to move on to the elephant in the room. MA1 at the Rick Taylor Memorial. Mr. Michael Sharkey absolutely destroyed everyone else at the tournament and beat everyone else by a minimum of 10 shots. He scored 18 under. Now, that is unbelievable, to be honest.
It, It is his own course.
I agree.
Not his own course, but it's his local course. So that, and you often see in Manchester that the Manchester players, because they play it so often and there's such a good club up there that they're playing all the time, that there is a definitely a home field advantage at Manchester. But Sharky's smashing it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on it. He's on one.
He's like, he didn't at the Unprofessional Open. I was about to say, every tournament he's entered has he had a 1,000-round average. He got a 9.84 average at the Unprofessional Open. But he had a 1,000-round average at the Rick Taylor. And then he had, what did he have? He had a 970 rated round at average at Noah Smithson's fundraiser. He's playing amazing disc golf at the moment.
Yeah, he definitely is. I think we record this on Monday night, so tomorrow is ratings update day, and I wouldn't be surprised if he moved into like the top five for the country.
Do you reckon?
Pretty yeah.
He's at 951 at the moment. I know as you play more, it gets harder to go up. What do you reckon he'll go up to? 960 odd?
Actually, I didn't think about this enough. Maybe not. I'm definitely going down, so I'm taking myself out of that now.
What are you on, Josh? I don't know what.
I'm on 985 right now, but I'm pretty sure it's going down.
Okay. Is it ratings day tomorrow?
Yeah. But yeah, he's definitely been playing good, and he's always consistent no matter what level he's at. So as he's progressing, he's like staying there, you know what I mean? Which is is good. Like it's a good sign. So yeah, it'll be fun to see if he can keep it up throughout the rest of the year.
So the question is, Josh, I suppose does he need to step up to MPO? Not just Sharky, but in this situation, would you say that you're compelled to step up? My personal view would be not really, because there's no necessity to suggest that you have to turn pro.
Why not play in the MPO and not take cash then? If you're dominating MA1, what's the point?
Yeah, because that's kind of where I'm at. Like, obviously, do whatever you want to do, but for me, I'd want to play with the Bens and the Noahs, and then like see what I can do against them, and give myself a bit of extra pressure for when the time comes to go to Am Worlds. Then I'm prepared for like better players.
Yeah, because I imagine MA1 in America, you've got basically people who would definitely be MPO over here.
Oh yeah.
Talk me through what happens if you was to step up and play MPO and you didn't take cash. What happens then? Do you get vouchers to the same value would have won?
I think you get nothing.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
So what incentive does he have? It makes no sense whatsoever to step up into MPO.
Yeah, but do people like at this level, like if you're 950s and up, it's like, do you really need the vouchers for discs? Especially when you've got a sponsor and, you know, it's like you've got the plastic.
I know what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying, but I just think, well, why would you pay the same money and play a tournament and not receive anything, as opposed to perhaps getting, I don't know, say a 2-day event, he could pick up bloody,
£200
in vouchers.
It's nice to fund your trip, but I guess with a voucher, you have to figure out a way to sell off what you're buying with it,
well,
right?
It's obvious, but you sell the vouchers at a reduced rate, or you just buy an expensive bag and sell the bag.
Yeah, exactly.
So it just seems like there's no incentive whatsoever other than to play with better players.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not playing.
But I personally, if I was in his position, I don't think I would be moving up.
Yeah.
Because there's just no real incentive to, as far as I'm concerned.
It would just be nice to grow the MPO field, and I feel like he's definitely, like, can hang in the NBA field here.
Like, so what you want is you want him to pay your winnings.
He's beat me in the last round. He's beat me in the last at the minute, but yeah, he's beat me in the last three events I think I've played with him.
Yeah, Champs, but if he can't take cash, he's boosting the pot, isn't he?
Well,
sneaky Josh.
I don't play for money. It's not life changing. It's nice. Like I said, it's nice to fund a hobby or part of it when you can. So for that reason, like you're saying, Duff, like yeah, maybe don't move up, but he definitely can. And if it were me, I would want to just to see what would happen.
If it was me, I'd want the vouchers.
Of course you would. It's all about
saving as much money as possible.
As you walk, you'd squeak, Udo.
Right, T.A. Is there anything else, Bone?
Well, speaking of, so we've got the Mistral coming up, and they've just opened all divisions. I have one... No, there's two MPO players right now because there's only 10 spots left. Me and Ben Holding. So I've told Ben...
Oh, you are playing in it.
I told Ben he don't want this smoke.
How much are you going to win for beating him? £3?
Nothing, because he ain't going to. He's gonna get beaten on his home course.
by Michael Sharkey. that's all right. It's just me and Ben right now, and I don't know. Noah might come down. Matt Parslow is probably going to play. I think I saw Dan Adderley might jump in, and then hopefully a couple of the MA1 signups. They are guys that normally play MPO when it's available. So now that it's open, I hope they swap up just to give like, if it's just two of us, it'll be fun, but like, be more fun with like 10.
I've figured out what you're doing, Josh. You're a broken man now. You are literally counting the days down until you can join MP40 and play with people your own age, aren't you?
Well, that and then just actual people. And also have events. Like, pros, we only have 5 events. Luckily, we've squeezed into Mistral at the end here, and will probably happen on a couple other ones, but...
I understand why the BDGA have done it, and you can't please everyone, and the AMs are the focus because there's more of us. But that is a bit weird that you've only got 5 events. It might take you all getting together and running some tournaments for yourselves, or some skins matches, or something like that. Get some money thrown around.
I would love to do a UK version of like Big Money Skins. Obviously, it wouldn't be that big, but some version of that.
It would be interesting. It's an interesting thought because, I mean, I've only ever really looked at it from an amateur's point of view in the terms of the tour schedule from the BDGA. But from your point of view, you've got those 5 events, but you can only play in those 5 events unless it opens up an AM tournament like it is at the Mistral.
Exactly.
But that's not guaranteed. Whereas I... in theory, could sign up for all of the tournaments in MA1 as well. So, so you go back to Sharky, it limits in there as well.
That is true. That might be the biggest point. But yeah, it'd be nice to be able to play a bit more because I'm in a situation where I can't go down to MA1 right now. It's not about rating. It's just I've got not a lot of winnings, but enough winnings to keep me where I am for now, at least.
Yeah.
I could put in a request, but I think it takes like a year or something.
Can you not play? There's got to be a way around it. Can you play and not place so you're playing or?
No.
What about creating a new PDGA number? Is that fraud?
Yeah.
Why can't you definitely have an amateur number where it's this guy, linked to you?
No. How would you? No. You couldn't have like ratings tied together or anything. Like, there was a guy in Georgia that just did that recently. He was kind of like new on the scene, started playing tournaments and had a few bad tournaments starting out. And I think it was like a year down the road, he just like started another number because he's like, oh, well, I'm better at tournaments now, so I want to get these old ones out. And someone called him out on Facebook. He had no idea he couldn't do it. I was like, if you just think about it for a second, you would know it's not right.
You can always do that and hide it and call yourself something else and wear a disguise.
Move cities.
Yeah. Okie doke. So, is there anything else you got in the news, Bowen?
I heard a rumour. we love this speculation. I saw something, I don't know how true it is, about an Airbnb and one of the pros over the weekend. Has anyone else seen that? I don't know if it was just someone throwing around some fake news online. Do you know what I'm referring to?
You talking about me?
You?
No. There's you're not the only pro, Josh. it's not all about Josh Birmingham.
I was talking about my housemate that's gonna be for Sweden Open.
Oh no.
Oh, Matt Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, are you allowed to announce that?
Yeah.
Are you gonna tell him that you thought he wasn't worthy picking for the
We might have a few beers and then I'll just have a heart to heart with him and I'll just say, look, man, if you were doing fantasy picks, would you have picked yourself? And he would go, yes, you're a dick, and punch me in the nose.
So I think Duffy knows.
And then he'll,
he'll go,
I'm going to bed.
Yeah. And not speak to you again. Duffy knows what I was talking about. I don't know if it was someone trolling, but it was Nico and an Airbnb room. Did you see that, did you, Duff?
No.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I always put it in our group chat. But only to see what
the Oracle said.
To see what it's about. Because all it was like a trash room with like Nico photoshopped in it saying the Airbnb after something. And I'm like, well, what's he done? And so I was just trying to find out, do you know what it is? Does this make sense now?
No idea. I haven't heard anything about it. It sounds fake though.
Yeah. But because there's a few people asking what's he done now, blah, blah, blah. But nobody really answered what it was. So it just seemed bizarre to put in if it wasn't nothing, there was no truth in it. But
Nico doing Nico things, I think, isn't it?
That's we're at an hour and six now, and that's no cutouts because of teams. So let's call it there. So we will be back next week. Hopefully, if we can line schedules up, we'll have Vanessa on with us. So that's always a good show. Yeah, that's it, I think. Remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
That was a whole show of disc golf.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.